Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I am your host, Shane Bacon. A bonus edition of the Clubhouse this week. I interviewed the LPGA Commissioner Mike Wan earlier this week. That one's already up. This bonus edition of the Clubhouse featuring Joe Buck is brought to you by OGO. Golf bags are your key to everything. They hold your golf clubs, your balls, your koozies, your ball markers, your wallet, your keys, your wedding ring, and much, much more. Why settle for a golf bag that isn't professionally engineered? OGO makes lightweight cart and carry bags that are what golfers need. Check out the Ozone cart bag with six pockets, an insulated cooler pocket, individual slots for your golf clubs so you'll never get confused about where that nine iron is. OGO.com. Check out their entire selection of bags right now. Joe Buck, of course, his book, Lucky Bastard, doing great, a New York Times bestseller. You can follow him on Twitter, at Buck, doing his fifth Super Bowl this Sunday on Fox. Took some time to chat with us here at the Clubhouse midweek as he's prepping for the 51st playing of this Super Bowl that will be on Fox this Sunday. I will be in Florida this week. I'm going to be doing my first PGA Tour live event of the year, the Waste Management Open. Of course, we get Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler and John Rahm, Phil Mickelson. If you don't subscribe to PGA Tour Live, it's only $40 for the year, and you get access and ability to watch early round coverage of your favorite players. It really is a great value, $40. That's less than a dozen golf balls if you buy them at a shop. So sign up and listen on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then you get ready for the Super Bowl on Sunday. That will be called by Joe Buck, who is next here on the Clubhouse. And I welcome back into the Clubhouse a man that is fairly busy this week, I'd say. Joe Buck, author of Lucky Bastard. You can follow him on Twitter, at Buck, doing his fifth Super Bowl this Sunday, Patriots and the Falcons on Fox. And is it fair for me to say it's not a calendar year, but is this the year of Joe Buck? I mean, you get to do a Cubs World Series at Wrigley. You get this Super Bowl to do with the Pats going for the fifth Super Bowl since 02. Your beard has been a huge hit. You have a New York Times bestseller. Is this your year?
Well, I think the beard starts the list. Yeah, that's really hard to accomplish out of laziness. Yeah, it's been a crazy year. You know, when you consider Dustin winning the U.S. Open, and then that kind of folds into the All-Star game, and then you get to the postseason, and you get lucky enough to get the Cubs and the Indians into the World Series, and then you get seven games, which is a gift. And you get 10 innings in Game 7. The book comes out 2 weeks later, and now here's the Super Bowl. It's been fun. It's been, I guess, tiring, if I'm going to be honest about it. But I'm not complaining. This has probably been the most fun year of my career to this point.
And I'm nervous that the run won't bleed into Aaron Hills. I'm really hoping that you can bring, like, Phil versus Rory or Jordan versus, hell, Tiger. I mean, you know, I feel like we've got to keep this run going. And I wanted to ask, you know, you're so busy. You've done baseball, you did the World Series, you got all these football games to do, and you got the Super Bowl. Are you paying any attention to golf right now? Do you toss it on when you get a minute?
Well, I follow Pat Perez on Instagram. So, yeah,
that's all you need.
Keeps me up to date. I see how long his nasty mullet is and his William Murray golf clothes and his weirdness on Instagram. I'm lucky enough to call him a friend. Yeah, I do. I have to. There's no way that I can just pick up, even once the calendar turns, I guess my personal calendar, after the Super Bowl and just say, oh, here we are. Now, I know it's a wraparound season. I know everything kind of gets regenerated come January, and they're in Hawaii, and then they're moving through. But I have to read, you know, I'm sure you're on the same emails I'm on, these recaps of every weekend, not just on the PGA Tour, but, you know, as the season goes on, you're talking about the LPGA Tour, the old folks and what they're doing. I have to figure out a way to stay up to date. And if I have one nightmare that recurs, it's that I'm behind on everything. I don't know who's who. I don't know who's hot. I don't know who's playing. And I just can't let myself get into that lazy mode.
Well, when the Super Bowl ends Sunday evening, I mean, do you cut off from football for a month? Or, I mean, or do you take a break from the sport that you finish up, knowing that you spent hours and hours preparing and broadcasting and doing this basically since what, early September, late August?
Yeah, I do. You know, there's not much that's going to go on right after the Super Bowl. Obviously, you know, all these sports now seem to be year-round ventures. So it does make that part of it a little bit more difficult. But, you know, with regard to the golf, I'm a golf fan. So I'm much more of a golf fan than I am, let's say, an NBA fan. So, or even a college basketball fan, which used to rule my life. I'm a fringe fan and somebody who will watch the tournament, but beyond that, I'm not keeping up to date on the week to week. So thankfully I'm a golf fan, and the football side of it, you can turn off the faucet once the Super Bowl is over. My wife and I go to Europe. That's usually book reading time. And that's something that I use also to keep up and catch up on golf. So that's where I got the bulk of my work done last year prior to Oakmont, and it's been kind of a good thing. It was last year. I'm going to do it again.
Where are you going in Europe? I mean, you don't have to give us the specifics, but do you have plans already?
Well, we're going to Paris. Has kind of been our place after Super Bowl's over. And my daughter, my almost 21-year-old, is studying abroad. And so she's in Barcelona, and she's going to come up to Paris. So I haven't seen her since the beginning of January, not that it's been months and months, but she's over there until April. So I just want to make sure she's good, healthy, happy. And that is kind of the carrot at the end of the Super Bowl that I know after that's over, I'm on my way to see my girl.
Well, you tweeted yesterday, you were on Howard Stern yesterday, you said it was a bucket list item. You know, you've been on Fallon promoting this book, you've been on Conan, now Stern, and of course, the Clubhouse. Do you have other bucket list items, things in your career that you want to check off? I mean, you've done so much in, you know, since, what, the early 90s. Are there things in your career that you still want to check off that you haven't done yet?
No. You know, yesterday, as we talk here, when I got a chance to do Stern, it was, you know, kind of one of those things that was far off and something I never thought I would accomplish. Not, I guess it's not accomplished, but I never thought I'd be invited to do, because Howard is a self-admitted non-sports fan. And so even with the book, even with the Super Bowl coming up this week, it was a hard sell to get him to say yes. And I'm glad that it went really well. And he popped up after it was over and was really complimentary and happy that he did it. That was as nerve-wracking to me, Shane, as doing the Super Bowl, as dumb as that sounds, because I'm not in control. And I'm not saying I'm in control of the game, but I'm in control of where I take the broadcast. I'm in control of what we're covering to some degree. And when it was Stern, knowing what I know, because I'm a fan, I was a little nervous as to what direction he would take. And he was great. I mean, he could not have been nicer. But bucket list stuff with my career, I'm happy if tonight somebody knocks on my door here at the hotel in Houston and goes, you know what, we're going to get somebody else to do the Super Bowl, and it's been a great run. And good luck to you. You're fired. I've been the luckiest person in this business to be my dad's son, to come along at the right time when Fox popped up out of nowhere. And so I don't make a list out of, or in my mind think, God, I wish I was doing, you know, whatever, the Kentucky Derby, the Final Four, or NBA Finals, or whatever. I never thought the U.S. Open would come along, and Fox got that kind of behind the scenes, and then here I am calling a U.S. Open with you and having a blast. And so, you know, you just don't know what's around the corner, good or bad. And I kind of take my career year by year at best, if not month by month, week by week.
Well, and I have to assume a Wrigley Field World Series was on the list. It had to have been near the top. I mean, you've talked at length at times about how special that would be, how big of a moment that would be for you. I mean, that would have had to have been one of the last check marks on the list, I'm assuming.
Yeah, you and I had that that day or night at Wrigley when we went there at the end of our golf season 2 years ago. And that was on my mind then, because you could see the Cubs were getting better. And and they were a legitimate contender. And then they got into the postseason, they lost to St. Louis, and they weren't there, or they beat St. Louis, rather, and then they lost to the Mets, and that was that. And so I was on the American League side, not this past year, but the year before, and now here they are in the World Series, let alone the NLCS. I got a chance to do the Cubs in their first World Series since 1945 and winning for the first time since before World War I. And so when people say, well, come on, you're from St. Louis, you're supposed to hate the Cubs. And, you know, it's bigger than that. It was historic. And to be a part of a historic moment in the history of a country, and I really believe it is in some ways, it was something that I don't think baseball-wise I'll ever top. I mean, I think what you're thinking along the lines of with regard to golf would kind of be there. Like if Tiger somehow found it and came back and had some incredible run during the U.S. Open and he's in contention. I mean, you can only dream about that stuff. Or Phil finally gets over the hump. Or, you know, yeah, Rory McIlroy, but you know, we've seen it before with him in majors and in a U.S. Open in particular. So it's the historic ones that kind of catch your attention. And that's why the Super Bowl is cool, because you've got Tom Brady going for a record-setting fifth. And these guys have been at it in this incredible run of dominance since 2001, which is remarkable in a salary cap free agency era. I think it's the greatest accomplishment any team can say, and it belongs to the Patriots. And here they are again against a really good Atlanta Falcons team.
Yeah, I mean, their run started before I went to college. I mean, that is how long ago they've been in the playoff question. It's
unbelievable. And it really started in 01, at least Super Bowl-wise, the way it's, I think, going to continue almost identical here in 2016 season, 2017 Super Bowl, and that is Bill Belichick, extra time, his defense against a multi-layered, multi-pronged attack, like he had to try and figure out against a 14-point favorite St. Louis Rams team with Kurt Warner and Marshall Faulk and Isaac Bruce and Oz Hakeem and Torrey Holt and a good tight end, and you know, it just went on and on and on, and they could get you so many different ways. That's what Atlanta looks like to me. They've got a good tight end. They've got great receivers. They've got Julio Jones. They've got two good backs. They've got a good offensive line. To me, it kind of reminds me of that type game. And if we get the same, event that they had, and that game was on Fox, in this year's Super Bowl, it'll be incredible. That game was tied 17-17 with like 35 seconds left or whatever it was. And Brady, who nobody had really heard of, took him down, and Vinatieri won the game. And that's what you hope for in these big events, just a competitive, good game.
Is it a treat for you to get to call a Patriots game? Because, I mean, you call so many Cowboys games, so many Packers games, a lot of NFC. Is it a treat to call Brady? I mean, is this the most fun team to call as a host and as a broadcaster?
Yeah, and in some ways. I mean, I love covering Aaron Rodgers. I love covering, obviously now, Dak Prescott. Eli Manning's been fun to cover over the years. But I do so few Patriots games, it is different. I've done them twice. This will be the third time in the Super Bowl. And when you just hear yourself yelling into a microphone, Tom Brady, Brady to whoever you want to say, Edelman, it sounds a little different that it's Brady. And I think we don't recognize the all-time greats when they're in our midst. But, man, if he's not top three or best ever, I could make a case for best ever, then I don't know who is. So it is fun. It's cool. And it's something that I don't take for granted.
I heard you talking on Stern about prop bets that you're involved in. I know that's stuff that is brought up to you a lot. I saw a few. I actually looked up. There was a I think it was on USA Today or something, over under 2.5 Dirty Bird references during the broadcast. Do you remember the first time that you saw a prop bet about the broadcasting team? And were you shocked, surprised? I mean, I'm assuming they only come up really around the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's only a Super Bowl thing, and I don't get it. I mean, I don't really understand. I could theoretically send in my friends and family, and I don't think it's something, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, or maybe neither one of us know, that you can walk into a casino and put money down on what I'm going to say or not going to say. But it's so warped because it could be so corrupt. I mean, nobody asked me. Nobody said, hey, why don't you, sign this waiver or this agreement that you're not going to tell anybody what you say. And so it seems like it's something you'd be a moron to bet on that stuff unless you knew me
right. And
asked me. And I'm happy to tell you, I will not say Dirty Bird one time. So I'm telling you on your podcast, the Clubhouse, bet the under because it's not coming out of my mouth. So it defies logic to me, but it's funny. You know, am I going to be clean shaven on the game? What am I going to wear, a polka dot tie? Am I going to reference Michael Vick? I mean, stuff that is just ridiculous,
right?
But I guess that's kind of the world we operate in now.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for you to say a huge 4th-and-6 for Matty Ice. Without this, the New England dynasty continues and you get two in, everybody's high five. And at the MGM, I do know that on the prop bets, I think you can only bet a certain amount in the casinos. So I guess if you did tip off a buddy, he couldn't go bet, you know, $500,000 or $1 million. It might be like a $5,000 limit or whatever. But I do find
them
funny.
Still,
yeah, I mean, $5,000.
Yeah. I mean, I should just send guys to every casino and, you know, just buy an island somewhere. But
yeah,
your
blue tie is a heavy favorite on the ties. I just want to let you know. Do you have your suit picked out, by the way? I mean, is this something that you plan weeks in advance on what you're going to wear, knowing this is, you know, hundreds of millions of people watching?
No, I mean, I just say which one is kind of in the rotation that I haven't worn in a while. And I've got a white shirt. My tie is red, white, and blue and kind of blended checks together. And my suit is dark blue. So there you go. There's more information for you.
So much information. Of all the sports you broadcast, which one do you find the toughest?
Golf, by a factor of 50. Only because, well, first of all, it's not as familiar to me. And you know this from sitting in that seat as well as I do, that it's counterintuitive to do an event where you're not watching the action with your own eyes. And that's, you know, when I walk into the game on Sunday, I'm going to be sitting at the 50-yard line, midway up, best seat in the house, can't get any better. I do a baseball game, I'm behind home plate, midway up, can't get a better seat, I see everything. When we're doing golf, the golf course is behind us. We're facing away from the golf course, and we watch nothing live. I can't speak for you, but at no point during the U.S. Open did I get up, leave the booth, and go outside and watch any of the action. It's all on TVs in front of us. So we could do it from our basement if we wanted to. And that makes it tough because you're relying on other people to give you good information. And I don't like that feeling. I'd rather trust my own eyes and know what I'm looking at as opposed to somebody, you know, in our case, it's Mark Loomis or Jesse West, telling us in our ear, you know, we're going to go to the fifth hole now, and this is Mickelson for birdie. Well, you hope to God the next thing on your screen is the fifth hole,
right?
And then it's a left-handed guy, and he's putting for birdie. And you're only as good as the information you're getting. And I don't like relying on other people for the bare-bones stuff that you feel like you should know yourself. So that makes it difficult for me.
Well, there's 18 fields. You know, that's what I always tell people. There's 18 fields in a golf broadcast. And as you said, I mean, if you're looking at Lambeau, you're looking at Lambeau. I mean, there's no guy kicking in the practice field down the street that you have to rely on or worry about. I mean, Tiger could be on 4, or Phil's on 18, Rory's on 1, or they haven't even teed off yet. I mean, it is a very interesting thing. It's the issue with being a spectator at a golf event. You know, you can go on a Sunday and see amazing action, but there might be a Johnny Miller out there shooting 63, and you have no idea, really, unless you're lucky enough to run by his scoreboard. So golf is a very as you said, it's a very interesting thing to broadcast. I did see some of your Instagram pictures from Lambeau, these guys were without their shirts. And it made me wonder a question for you, because the booth you're broadcasting from is open. What's the coldest you've ever been during a broadcast?
Easily at Lambeau, not this year, but back in 07 when they were calling it Ice Bowl 2. I think people think you're just in a hermetically sealed booth. And the reason why you can't be is because it sounds like you're in a phone booth and your voice bounces off the glass and comes back into the microphone. So you have to open up the windows. And that year in 07, that was the year it looked like Tom Coughlin's face was going to crack and fall off. And it was beyond cold. I don't know how they played football in it. I don't know how they played the Ice Bowl. Experiencing that, Aikman and I walked down to the field before the game started. And normally we take, I don't know, half hour walking around. If you see Rodgers out there, you see, you know, in that year would have been Brett Favre and Eli Manning. You talk to them a little bit. They'll give you some info about what they're thinking. And Troy and I looked at each other after about 5 minutes at the most. And he's like, "You good?" I'm like, "Yep, I'm good. Let's go." And back up we went. And then you go up there and you're just freezing. Your fingers don't work right. And it's hard to talk when you're shivering. And then you look down and there's, you know, Plaxico Burress with no sleeves on. And you just go, how in the world? But at least they're moving around. So, my dad taught me one thing, a million things, but one thing in particular. He said, when he was dropping me off at the minor leagues in Louisville my first year, he said, "Remember one thing. Nobody cares if the announcer's cold. Nobody cares if the announcer is too hot. Nobody cares about your golf game yesterday. Nobody cares what you had for lunch. Just call the game." And that was loud and clear in my mind when I was calling that, because you want to go, it is freezing up here in the booth, but nobody cares. Just call the game.
Well, you've done some of the biggest sporting events in the world. As I mentioned, 5 Super Bowls. I did hear you mention to Stern, "If I sleep the night before." Is there a lot of different prep for this game in particular for you? I mean, do you prepare differently? There's 2 weeks to wait for it. I mean, is it almost a halt to make sure you don't over prepare for it?
Completely. In fact, I did that the first two I did. And by the time, with all the information that I write down and I have in front of me, I couldn't read any of it. It was so jammed. You like barely can remember who's playing quarterback. So I made a deal with myself that in that dead week, that down week, if it wasn't in the national newspaper or popping up as in these days as an update on my phone, I'm not writing it down. And if I become aware of it, then I'll run to my notebook and make a note, but I'm not searching it out. And then I start my normal prep this week, like I'm doing a normal game in November. So it started on Sunday, got through the clips that I get sent, all the articles. And then you, even now I find myself just drowning in information. It's almost like you have to keep it out because you just get overwhelmed. And I want to go into that game kind of clear-headed. You know, there are the bare bones facts, you know, the history that's on the line, 51st year for the Falcons, their second Super Bowl. You know, Matt Ryan came into the postseason 1-4. Now he's 3-4. He's never won the big game, probably the MVP. And the rest of it, you just do the game. And so it's a hard trap to not fall into. But I've tried like heck to not fall into it. And I think I've done a good job so far this week.
Well, yeah, I mean, the game tells a story. I mean, you think about all the things cut. I mean, all the things you've looked through this week. I mean, they'll probably show, 10% of the efforts that the team's made to make sure that everything's covered. But you never know. I mean, Julio Jones goes out in the first quarter with an ankle injury. And, I mean, all the stuff you put together for Julio Jones is basically sacked. So, as you mentioned, I mean, over-preparation is something you almost have to halt and get away from. I did want to ask, how much golf do you get to play when you're on the road during baseball season and football season? Do you bring your clubs much? Do you have certain destinations and places that you actually tee it up at?
I got to tell you, I didn't play a ton of golf as a kid, but when I started in the minor leagues in 1989, that's when I kind of started to play golf. And then when I got to the Cardinals in 1991, that's when golf really started for me, because Mike Shannon, who was a co-broadcaster with me, a couple of the players, we would play all over, and I got better and better and better. And one of the reasons why I got better was the tour that Mike Shannon was setting up, because of his connections, was better than Tim Fincham could have set up. We'd be in San Francisco and he'd play Olympic Club in the crack of dawn. And sometimes we'd go back after a day game, or, you know, you're in Chicago and you play Medina, or you're in Houston and you play River Oaks, or whatever it might be. And I've never played more golf in my life than when I was doing the Cardinal games, because that was oh, by the way, we're doing baseball at night, but we're really just playing golf every day. And now that I'm doing Fox, I'm not in a city for multiple days. So I usually will go in for a baseball Saturday game on Friday. I go right to the hotel, do my work, get up, do the game, and get out. And then football, you know, you're most of the time during the season, it's too cold to play in the different spots that you're going to play. I try to sneak out every once in a while, but I've never played less golf than I have this year. One of my favorite days of the year playing golf was when you and I and Fax and Loomis and McCarron, our group, Buddy Marucci, went out and played in Detroit. I mean, that was fun. And I would tell you, I cherish those days, because when you can go with your work group and go have fun on a golf course, even if it's not the golf group, it's just, you get to know somebody so much better. And I think that stuff kind of filters in over the air, where, you know, you can have a little more fun and trust each other once you've been out that way.
Well, speaking of the golf group, do you have a more diverse text conversation in your life than the one that is involved around the 10 or so golf people that are in our group that send the most random stuff day in and day out every single day?
No, and most of the texts would, at the very least, get us fired
easily,
and at the very most, get us arrested. So I'm thankful to kind of, you know, every once in a while I'll jump in. But when you put Curtis Strange, Paul Azinger, Brad Faxon, you, me, Julie Engster, poor Julie, on this text chain, it is, you know, you better have a thick skin. And it's I love that stuff, though. I think it keeps us all close, even when we're not, you know, the golf season's over for us as we prepare for another year. So I think there's value in all that dumb stuff. It's funny, or, you know, it's cutting or whatever it is that some of that stuff may be. I think it's valuable, and I'm glad we do it.
For sure. Just a couple of more and I'll let you get out of here. I know you got a lot of stuff to do. We're in year three of the USGA Fox deal. Which championship has surprised you the most in terms of fun covering it?
Man, I don't know about you, but I think the U.S. Amateur is as enjoyable as anything we do. I mean, the U.S. Open is the U.S. Open, and, you know, this is our national championship. So I never take any of that for granted, and I work hard to do my best in the limited time that we're doing golf, to present that the best possible way. But man, the U.S. Amateur, when you see those kids competing, and just the natural emotion and the raw emotion, God, I just think that is, you know, some of the of golf at its best. And I could make a weird case for the two man. I could make a weird case for like the four ball we're doing. And, you know, it's kind of country club golf or muni golf, where you grab a buddy and you go take on guys and you're basically playing best ball. I think, you know, for the average golf fan, even though you might not know who the players are, it's just, and it's really good golf. I mean, this isn't bad golf. This is tremendous golf. I think all those events are fun to dive into and see who comes out on top. It's a blast.
Yeah, I mean, as a broadcaster, you have to pull the stories out of these amateur players. I mean, that's what's so fun. Nick Carlson last year, that Michigan kid that nobody'd really heard of, you know, making
it
so
great.
Oh, was making it so far in the indoor. I mean, he was
like
eating it up
for that kid.
Yeah, no, you're rooting in the press box.
He had it in his hand.
It was good.
So,
yeah, I agree with you.
I'm with you. That is the guy that I'm thinking of is Nick Carlson, the kid from Michigan, and getting a chance for all of us to meet him the day before and have lunch with him, and you know, just like a wide-eyed kid with a big grin and a fired-up guy. Now, would I like to play against him? If I was good enough to play against him, I don't know. He was a little in your face, but for TV, it was great.
It was everything we wanted. Okay, you're back home in St. Louis. You're playing golf. Are you walking or are you in a cart?
I walk. I always walk. It's just better on my back. I've had two back surgeries. I'm dealing with another issue back there. Up and down, bumping around in a cart, I'm not a fan of that. And if you're going to play and spend 4 hours outside, you might as well get some exercise. I feel like I concentrate better when I walk.
I think you get a better feel for the golf course because you at least know when you're walking past a sprinkler head and your ball's 20 yards ahead, you know, at least an idea of what you're going to be hitting. Do you have a Bluetooth speaker or is it complete silence?
I'm not against music. I never charge my speaker. So I play a lot down in Cabo. I play, you know, different groups around St. Louis, and I'm always happy when there's music. But, you know, I played with Bob Ford this past year down at Seminole, and he brought that question up to me. And before I could answer, he said, "I mean, I hate that music. It makes it just bastardizes golf." I was like, "Uh-huh, yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Whatever you say, Bob."
Right. I just kind of bit my lip and went, "Okay, but give me a good playlist, and I'm in."
Yeah, one of my rules is if I have a speaker and the person with me is not a regular in our group, I always say, I'll play the music, you have to pick the Pandora station. So the person that's not used to the music gets to at least to pick, you know, the Beatles or the Stones or Nick Cannon, whatever he wants to play, at least we get a feel for what he wants, and so he's not, you know, he's not so annoyed, but I probably would not do that with Bob Ford.
Well, I thought you were going to go in a different direction. I have a standing rule that if I play with people and they don't like the music, I no longer play with them.
I think that's also good. They're exiled, deleted from the phone. You are out. No
yeah.
more.
Yeah, you're done.
What's your go-to money game?
You mean in what sense? What am I playing?
Yeah, when you and your buddies are going out and playing, what's the game you're playing most of the time?
I mean, it's mostly a NASA. You know, I mean, if you want denominations, probably $20 bet, press whenever. But usually automatic two downs. There are groups that are automatic one downs. But if we have more than four, which is my preference, a wolf game is hard to beat. I'm not the 9-point game and all that stuff. Just it's too much math. And,
right.
And you know, I'm not smart enough to figure all that out. I don't want to spend longer in my cart or with a scorecard trying to figure out who owes what than actually playing golf.
For sure. What's the best round you've ever shot?
I mean, I've hovered in the low single-digit handicap, but I've only shot under par one time, and it was at El Dorado from the tips on a really tough championship course, and I played against Hank Haney, of all people, and I was playing that day, I don't know, it was a six or something, and I mean, I just crushed Hank, and I felt so bad at the end. We were like on to, I don't know, 17. He goes, "Hey, bud, do you know what you're shooting here?"
Oh,
and
no, the curse.
Like, that was the kiss of death. And he goes, "You're one under." And I was like, "Oh, my God," because I didn't. I legitimately didn't know. I knew I was playing well. But when he told me that, I thought, well, there goes my one under. But I ended up parring the last two holes, and I was so happy that I made him sign my golf ball. I waived the money that he owed me, and then I made him sign my ball, which is in my office as we speak.
If you could play one more round of golf, it would be on what course?
Cyprus, every day of the week. Not even close. I just think it's got everything. It's got forest, it's got dunes, it's got ocean. And, you know, it's low key, not a big event with the driving range. It's like, here's a bag of balls, just go hit them over in that direction. And that's kind of my style. I mean, obviously Augusta, all that stuff, Pine Valley, but I think for the, like a nice, cool, misty, overcast day, and then the clouds break at the end of the day and you're playing 16 and 17 with a little sunshine and the ocean slapping around, that's pretty good.
Joe, I know you don't pick winners when you're hosting a Super Bowl or such, but is there a team you're leaning towards after your research that you feel like has a better chance of pulling this out on Sunday?
Well, I made the joke that I tend to fall in love with the last hot girl I saw at the bar back in my single days. And I just watched Atlanta take apart, albeit a very undermanned and injured Green Bay defense. But, man, I don't know. I think Atlanta's good enough to knock off the favored Patriots. But if you said to me you have to push everything you own into the middle of the table, I think we're all smart enough to know not to bet against Belichick with extra time, Brady, and their pedigree. But just for fun's sake, I'll say Atlanta.
Well, Joe, I appreciate your time. You can get Lucky Bastard anywhere. Books are sold. Get on Amazon. You can go to Walmart. You can buy them. And luckily, it's done well enough to where you don't have to get that back tattoo. I saw you mentioned that you were getting beat by a lower back tattoo, so you don't have to do it now. I appreciate the time.
All right, thanks. Anytime, Shane.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
Just a reminder to check out the entire selection of OGO products, including their amazing and unbeatable backpacks. Nothing makes traveling easier than a solid backpack. You can put your computer, tablet, book, headphones, maybe a podcast microphone in there. The Renegade Backpack by OGO can hold everything you travel with and more. It's the Cadillac of bags. It weighs just 3.5 pounds, features a reactive suspension system. So if you do happen to drop your backpack, everything inside stays safe. OGO has plenty of backpack options, perfect for the golfer on the go. Check out OGIO.com, OGIO.com right now. Many thanks to Joe Buck taking some time from a very, very busy week to chat with us, not just about the Super Bowl, but about golf season as we get nearer and nearer to Erin Hills in the U.S. Open. We're excited about that. Of course, plenty of golf to be played from here until then, but that is the date we at Fox have circled on our calendar. Just a reminder, if you haven't signed up for that Clubhouse newsletter, jump on Twitter, follow me at Shane Bacon. You can follow the Clubhouse at the Clubhouse Pod, and it's pinned right there atop both those pages. It's a link to sign up. Hit your inboxes on Monday and Wednesday. It's an easy way to get your golf news and get your golf fix without having to scour the internet and find all those articles and GIFs. I hope you have a great weekend as we get set for the Waste Management Open and the Super Bowl. Patriots and Falcons, excited about that. Hope you have a good next few days. Make some birdies, get in a round, but you got to go real early this weekend because you want to get that round in before about 10 or 11 o'clock so you can get set for all the sports that are coming your way.